I do this little radio show, and I've been on, 7 years now. You know, I've got quite a good, great listeners, and so I thought you were one person that could really help some of our listeners, because I find in the world right now that, kind of in the people world too, more people are dying of cancer than they are of anything else. The same with like our pets. They don't seem to die of old age anymore. Now, in studio with me, I've got Dr. Jessica Levy, and I guess somewhere along the line, you've talked to Lori?
Hi, Dr. Levy. How are you?
Good. How are you? Yeah, we chatted on the phone a while ago.
Yes.
All right. So, where you want to start us out here? Now, your book is called How to Help Your Dog Fight Cancer, correct?
It's just called Help Your Dog Fight Cancer.
Okay. Well, sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'll get it. But anyway, and now this came to light because of what you went through. Kind of give us a quick synopsis.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I started out as a medical animal writer, and I was working as editor of Catnip Magazine at a Tufts vet school when Bullet, my Siberian Husky, was diagnosed with lymphoma.
Okay.
And that was in the year 2000, July 2000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I got him into chemotherapy. He did very, very well, and he actually survived the rest of his life. I lost him when he was almost 14, and that was four and a half years after he had lymphoma.
Oh, my. That's...
Cancer never came back. I lost him to renal disease.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now you just kind of took a step back and kind of looked at the big overview. Now, okay, what did you determine, or what things did you start changing once he was diagnosed with cancer? Where did you go? What happened?
Well, the first thing I did was
cry,
totally panic. Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, get right on the internet and start researching.
Okay.
And I determined right away that he was going to have chemo, because with lymphoma, dogs really have no chance of survival without chemo beyond a month or two.
Okay.
And with chemo, they can get 12 to 18 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, is really a huge chunk of time. And worth a shot if you know, in the right situation, if you have a healthy, strong, young dog, and you can afford it, then chemo is a good choice for lymphoma.
Now, this might be a dumb question, but it kind of, now, when you get chemo, you lose your hair. Do dogs lose their hair with chemo?
Well, the dogs that have fur generally don't. The dogs that have hair, like the hypoallergenic dogs.
Okay.
Will lose it because their hair grows more like ours does.
Okay.
You know, the dogs with fur grow a big coat in the winter. It's a seasonal growth.
Okay.
So they generally get to keep their fur, although Bullet did lose a lot of his coat after a year of chemo. And back in 2000, they used to use long chemo protocols. Now they don't anymore.
Oh, okay. Now, what do you mean by long chemo protocols?
A Bullet had 18 months of chemo.
You mean like once a month?
No, like once a week, and then every other week. And then right at the very end, it went to every 3 weeks, and then it stopped.
Oh, my. That seems like a heavy-duty zap there.
Yeah. It was a different approach then. I think the theory was they were really trying to knock the cancer out completely and make sure it didn't come back at all.
Okay.
And now what they do is they knock it out pretty good and hope it doesn't come back, and when the dog does come out of remission, they give him another protocol.
Oh, okay.
So it's sort of a different approach.
Okay. Now, what are some of the most important things that somebody to know if their pet has been diagnosed with cancer?
If your pet's been diagnosed with cancer, the first thing is to make medical decisions, because if you are going to provide any treatment, you should start right away. Every minute you delay, that cancer is going to keep going.
Correct.
And become harder to treat.
Mm-hmm.
Once you figure that out, you need to look at the dog's diet and supplements.
Okay.
Very important in fighting cancer.
Okay, so now let me stop you right there. Okay, now diet. I'm a big nut about getting people to read labels.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what I mean, it's try to do as healthy as you can for your budget or whatever. But obviously, you know, cooking for your dog is the best. Fruits and vegetables and such like that, instead of, you know, the processed food. Was that the first thing that you did?
Absolutely.
What did you do?
Well, Bullet, I did make a home-prepared diet for Bullet most of his life, but when he was diagnosed with cancer, I switched him to a raw diet.
Okay.
I'm not sure that has a lot of logic behind it. But I just decided to switch to raw, and I took all the carbs out of his diet.
Because
cancer really feeds on carbs.
Carbohydrates, right. That's one thing, too, that I know in humans is the same thing.
Right.
But get those carbs out of there. And it's a question whether our dogs and definitely our cats don't need carbs, and
right.
whether the dogs even need any carbs whatsoever.
Right. Well, I think carbohydrates have a purpose. They're useful, but when you have cancer, if you eat carbs, you're really feeding the cancer, not the dog or the person.
Okay. Okay, so now, so we changed the diet. You got him on the raw diet. And what other some changes? What other changes did you make?
I added a lot of supplements.
Such as?
Such as I upped his dose of O3 fatty acids.
Okay. Like fish oils?
Doubled it. I'm sorry?
Like fish oils?
The fish oils and flaxseed oil.
And flaxseed oil? Yep. Okay, you doubled it?
Flaxseed oil. And, I put a raw egg in his food. I added L-arginine, L-glutamine, and tofu to try to get him some more good protein.
Okay.
And what else did I do? Beans sometimes. I'd cook up some beans.
Beans as in kidney beans?
Yep, any kind of beans.
Oh, really?
Yep.
How about refried beans?
No, actually. He wasn't big on Mexican.
Yeah, okay. But beans, the looms are good.
Yes.
Okay. And then now, what was, when you were dealing with this, now, did you give any rawhide chews or anything like that for him to eat too?
No, but he did really like rawhide.
Okay.
I did used to give him biscuits.
Okay.
We had a little ritual every morning and every night before bed of having a dog biscuit.
Okay.
And I did continue that, even though it was carbs. I just decided it was important to him. It was, you know, good quality time that we had together. So I continued. I did not make him carbohydrate biscuits.
Okay.
He just continued.
Because I know a lot of times people forget that even though they change the diet, what happens is what they do in addition to that, you know, they still stay with kind of what I call the junk foods.
Right.
And they don't consider that as a big picture. And so that's why I brought that up. Because it's really important that you look at the whole thing, not just what they have in their dinner plate, but what other things they get through the course of the day.
Absolutely.
Now, did you give fruits and vegetables? Fruits?
Both favorite food and what I used as training treats for him was bits of raw broccoli.
Okay, yep, love broccoli. But if you give him too much, they fart a lot.
Really? I didn't notice that.
Well, I found that out the hard way.
Okay.
I used to give a clump, you know, a big head of broccoli to one of my dogs to chew on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and well, by that evening, he didn't want them in the same room.
Oh, God.
Because there wasn't much left.
I encountered that problem.
Yeah, there wasn't much left of that head of broccoli either.
Uh-huh.
But anyway.
The other treat that was great for Bullet, and it was very helpful during his cancer treatment, and I think is Bullet's great contribution to all dogs, is the best dog treat in the world.
Okay.
Is a frozen fish fillet.
Really?
Straight out of the freezer.
You're kidding me.
No, I used to just toss it on the porch, and he'd run out there and bark at it and chase it around, throw it in the air, and eventually he'd finally eat it. And it's great because it cleans the back of their teeth where we can't brush.
Okay.
Or at least I was never able to brush back there. Maybe you can.
No. I give raw butcher bones to my dogs.
Yeah. And it's just a great healthy treat.
Oh, wow. I never would have thought of that. That is, what was his favorite, tilapia?
Actually, yeah, we had tilapia a lot, and whatever they have in the supermarket in the big bags that's frozen.
Okay.
Just plain fillets, nothing on it, nothing added.
I'll be doggone.
Pollock or whiting or tilapia, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay. Now now we changed the diet. We're cooking for him now, or we're doing the raw diet, giving him frozen fish fillets. We've upped the omega-3s and such, raw eggs. Now, I was told once that if you feed a dog raw egg, you know, too often, that there's an enzyme in the white that can break down in their system wrong. Is that good?
Yeah, well, what I found out back then was that the white, if it's not cooked, it depletes the biotin.
Okay.
Which they really need to preserve all their biotin to fight the cancer.
Okay.
So I used to put the white in the microwave for half a minute just okay. to solidify it a bit.
Oh, okay.
And add that in. But the yolk I put in raw.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to, because I've asked a couple different people about that, and some people just kind of look at me with a big question mark, and it's just like, well, I don't know. I've heard that. I've read it. But, you know, I just don't understand it on a regular basis. But so thank you for clearing that up.
No problem.
So we got to take
a
break.
As far as other supplements, I think antioxidants and immune system boosters are the most important, you know, overall supplements to give a dog with cancer. It's good to give a dog without cancer as well.
Right.
Especially with cancer.
Yes, and we want to touch that too, is that, okay, let's try to prevent. What things can we do to prevent, you can never really prevent it totally, but I mean, how to make our dogs healthier. So hopefully, two things. Number one, maybe they might not get it, and if they do get it, they got a stronger chance of fighting it. But tuned in to KDK9. I'm here every Sunday from 4 to 6 answering your canine questions and occasional feline questions. And today, we have Dr. Jessica Levy in studio with us, Professor Susan, and then me, and then online, we have Lori Kaplan, who wrote a book, Help Your Dog Fight Cancer. And she did that, she knows firsthand, because she had to do it through with her dog, Bullet, who was a Siberian Husky. How many pounds was Bullet?
Well, it weighed about 90 pounds.
Oh, my, okay. Was he all Siberian Husky, or did he have some Malamute in there?
They say he may have had... A Siberian Husky apparently can have up to 10% Malamute blood and still be a Siberian Husky.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he did have some Malamute in him.
Yeah, because that's a pretty...
I got Bullet at the shelter, so I don't have papers for him.
Now, I'm curious, what dogs do you have now?
Right now, next to me, I have a black lab mix.
Okay.
Probably lab and pit bull.
Okay.
He spent 8 years in my local shelter, shelter where I got Bullet.
Oh, wow.
And I've had him for 4 years. He's 14.
I bet you're loving having that coat compared to Bullet's coat.
Oh, I miss Bullet, too.
But there was always, because I've got a Shepherd Husky mix, Ben, and, it just seems like we always got the little tufts rolling across the floor, even after I just got done vacuuming.
You can make sweaters, though.
Yeah, no, I'm not that domestic. Okay, now we've talked about a little bit about the cancer in general, and then, now, what are some things that people can do to help their pets maybe prevent cancer? I know, just some things to make their dogs healthier.
Well, right up at the top of the list, Katie, is give up the green lawn. All those chemicals in the lawn care products are the worst thing. They were shown to definitely be the main cause of lymphoma in dogs.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure others. I mean, the dogs don't just walk around like we do and go inside and take their shoes off. They roll in it,
sniff it,
lick their paws. You might as well put herbicides and insecticides in their diet.
Yep. I hear. I'm a big nut about that because I live out on...
Yeah, you got to give up the green lawn.
Yeah, but I live out in Hugo, Minnesota here, and we have a hobby farm. And I'm no chemicals, not even those stupid cockaburrs that I hate so bad.
Wonderful.
Anyway. Okay, so we're giving up the green lawns. What other things?
Vaccinations. Be careful not to over-vaccinate.
Okay.
The mandatory vaccines, rabies, you do have to do with a healthy dog. If your dog has cancer, you do not have to.
Okay.
There's a waiver form you can print out from the website, Help Your Dog Fight Cancer, vaccine waiver form to bring to your vet and have them send in. And, the only disclaimer there is if you have an aggressive dog who actually bites people, then I would not recommend skipping the rabies vaccine.
Okay, sounds good.
Everything's subjective.
Now, being an author yourself, too, are there any books that you strongly recommend that somebody can read, like about vaccinations or, about cancer? Obviously, your book, Help Your Dog Fight Cancer. But are there any other books that my listeners...
There's a great book called Why Is Cancer Killing Our Pets?
Okay.
I wish I had, I think that's Ann Miller, but I'm not positive. What else? There's a lovely book called Cancer and Our Pets, Cancer and Companion Animals.
Okay.
By Dr. Downing.
All right. Can this be found on your website, helpdogsfightcancer.com?
I believe they are on the website. There's a recommended reading list.
Okay. Oh, good. Good. That's what we need.
Suggested reading under cancer and dogs. Yeah. You'll find it on the Help Your Dog Fight Cancer website. Yeah.
Okay.
And the Magic Bullet Fund website really doesn't have a lot of information to help people because it has its own purpose.
Okay. And look, why don't we go there since you brought that up now. The Magic Bullet Fund, why don't you explain to all my listeners what that is?
I will. The Magic Bullet Fund helps people who have a dog with cancer but can't afford to pay treatment.
right.
Which these days there are so many people who are finding out their dog has cancer, and they have a house in foreclosure, they
yep.
lost their job. There's really no way that they can afford to pay for treatment. So they apply to the Magic Bullet Fund,
mm-hmm.
and we raise funding and pay for their treatment.
Wow. That is phenomenal.
We've now put 88 dogs through cancer treatment.
Wow, that is phenomenal. And that can be, you don't have to just live in New York. It's all over, right?
All over the country, U.S.
Okay. And they can find out more about that. What's the website for that?
The website for that is themagicbulletfund.org.
All right. Now, did you get into that? Now, when did you set that up?
I set that up the day I sent the book out to be printed in 2004.
Wow.
Because I wanted to write on the inside of the book that a portion of proceeds is going to help dogs fight cancer.
Okay.
And I couldn't find an organization that does that. There are a lot of organizations that fund research
right.
or finding a cure, but I couldn't find one that actually helps dogs fight cancer.
Right.
So I created one.
So it does get kind of spendy, too.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
So how many mortgages you got in your house?
I'm okay. I had insurance, which I also recommend people have medical insurance for
their pets. Oh, that's exactly. Yeah, we've had a couple shows, done a couple of that, and I've got my new dog. Well, she's not new anymore. I've had her a little over a year. She's an American Bulldog Boxer mix.
Uh-huh.
And she's about 90 pounds, and she's going to be the dog that will wind up, whereas she's going to be costing me something. So I got insurance on her right away because she loves to, like, rip on tree logs, eat bark, stuff like this. And so
yeah.
I know something's going to happen.
Yeah, she's an accident looking for a place to happen.
The exact. That's exact. That sums it up in a nutshell. But anyway, so but this the book that your book is like. I strongly recommend that to anybody that is has dealt with dogs and cancer or is started. You know, just got the diagnosis to get this book. Help Your Dog Fight Cancer by Lori Kaplan, Laurie. Now, can you get this at Barnes and Noble? Where can we pick up that book?
It is available at bookstores, but sporadically here and there across the country.
Okay.
A lot of libraries have it.
And do you know if Amazon.com has it?
Amazon.com has it.
All right.
You can order it right from my website if you want my autograph on it.
Oh, yay. I should do that. Even though I have the book, I should just order another one so I can have you hand John Handicock for me. So that'd be cool. Yeah, because both, I don't know if, we put a book together called Simple Cooking for Dogs 101, whereas it's, you know, after the big scare of dog foods and such like that,
yeah.
That to get the dogs off the high processed foods and such. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's, they just totally turn inside out. Like, what do you mean cook for my dogs? And so, but I said, you know, you're making an egg for yourself, make one for the dog. It's not rocket science.
People did before these big companies came out with canned food.
And dogs lived a lot longer back then too.
Yep.
You know, those farm dogs that were put in the back 40, never went to the vet, only all they got was table scraps.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, those things, they lived to about 19, 20 years old.
Amazing.
And here we are now in this day and age, we get the best of everything, and for some reason we're going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
They're not living a fraction of what they should be. So it's
right.
it's really sad. It really is. But anyway, so, well, do you have anything else there, Jess?
I do have a question. Where are we at with the break?
Well,
do I have time for my question?
Well, we'll try here. We've got about a minute and a half.
Okay, here's my question for you, Lori.
Okay.
What about the place of the veterinary hospitals with, like, veterinary oncologists? Because I guess my inclination is as soon as somebody tells me that their pet has been diagnosed with cancer, or if I diagnose it, the first thing I recommend is, you know what, take it to the university, take it to an oncologist. Because the cancer treatments change a lot. They're always finding new drugs, finding new protocols, and there might be something good out there. A lot of people start off by saying, you know, and I'm never going to do chemotherapy. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And I feel like, wait. Find out what your options are before you decide you're not going to do it.
Exactly. So, and it is a good idea to go to an oncologist, either for the full treatment or at least to get a second opinion, a consultation, and then get treatment wherever you like. But they are specialists. This is what they do all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are on top of the latest, greatest treatments for every different type of cancer.
All right. Yeah.